Blog Talk Radio.
Well, evening, folks. This is Dave Schmidt. I'm your host here again tonight on the Sedona Connection. This is the April 10th program as we are coming your way. And here it is. It's 6 p.m. on the West Coast. It's 9 p.m. on the East Coast. It's a wonderful day, and that means basically 6 p.m. here at my home in Sedona, Arizona. And tonight, for those of you who are on Facebook, if you might have heard about my little bit of a pre-setup, I had to start just a little bit early because of the fact that I've done some changes to the software on here. So I had to make sure everything was set up and running correctly. But you heard the fact Blanca is not going to be with us tonight. She really came down with a kind of serious bug, and so she's kind of laid up in bed. So, folks, I'll be running the program tonight. And so, yes, you can send your little comments in there on Facebook to let me know that you're hearing everything fine. And I hope everything's going well on Blog Talk, because that's where usually where Blanca is, and she's able to get back to me. So if things aren't working on Blog Talk, well, folks, then we'll have to switch over to Facebook. But we are doing a live recording tonight. Everything is working well, and we're kind of ready to go with the program tonight. So thank you very much for everybody joining us tonight. So what's happening and what's going on? Well, yes, it is Wednesday evening here at my home in Sedona. And on Friday morning, I'm basically getting in my car and pulling the trailer and heading on to Florida, to southern Florida, where I will be transitioning to for maybe about 8-10 months. It's not a permanent change. And I'm going to take my time to get there, folks. I'm not going to drive straight through. I'm going to stop, visit folks along the way, because there's no big, huge hurry for me to get there. And there's a couple of reasons why I think basically I'm wanting to make this transition. First of all, I'm going to be spending a lot of time with Robert and Nicole of MetaOne Coin, and because that's where they are located, helping them, working through that, working with the program with both of them. And secondly, on the currency issue, all of the currencies that I was involved with that big broker in Reno, they have all been physically moved from Reno to southern Florida. And I'm not going to say anything more about that, but I just want to be around where that. I've got some friends there. I've got some connections there. I've got people who have some really deep contacts that are there. So it's just kind of good to be there. And also, Michael Leahy, my good friend, he lives there in just north of the Tampa area, Florida. He'll be about a 2.5-hour drive away, and I want to be spending more time with him as things are shifting and changing. So that's the reason I'm going. And again, it's not a permanent change. And yes, I'm still going to keep the name the Sedona Connection. That doesn't go away just because I won't be living in Sedona for about 8-10 months. But it'll be a great change for me. I'm kind of looking forward to it. It's easy for me just to pick up and go because I'm very flexible because both of my parents have passed away. I don't have any siblings that I associate with. I have two adult children that are in their mid-30s and on their own and doing very well, having a great life of their own. And I'm a single guy, so nothing ties me down. I don't own a house here in Sedona, and I've chosen not to own until I know I'm going to absolutely strongly settle. And so it's easy to pick up and go. And so that's what I'll be doing here in leaving as of now. I'm scheduled to leave on Friday morning. So that's the scoop that is there. So what other announcements are going on? We do have a workshop coming up in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 2 weeks from Saturday. Would encourage you to want to be there if as much as possible if you can. Robert from MetaOne Coin will be there to answer a lot of your questions. There's a lot of interesting things developing on MetaOne Coin that I should probably let him answer most of those questions on. But just the fact that they have brought in a lot of more art asset. And so the value of the coin is already going to be going up. Now, the big question a lot of people ask is, why hasn't it gone public yet? And what the team has basically decided is they want to wait and so that the coin will go public at the same time that the MetaOne banks and their association with the banks will come online as well. They want to do this all at once. And right now, there's no urgent hurry to have the coin become a public coin. But Robert will address the issue. But all I'll just say is there is a possibility they increase the value of the coin before it even goes public, which means if you want to get it at its current rate, you could turn around and buy it, and within 2 months, you're just going to have this huge increase even before the coin even goes public. Now, that's the Meta One issue. Michael Lee Hill has had this. I talked about this in my last video, what he has done with his disk and this, 432 hertz energy disk, and even the coasters like these that they're putting out. Well, the guy who is selling all these, David Sarita, he took my comments and then put them into a video. And you can see that video is posted on my Facebook page as well, and you can see that it's there. But folks, I'm amazed at what's coming out of that and how important it is that we understand the importance of drinking structured water, what these simple little coasters do to that. And it's all been proven by the scientists, the biological scientists that are out of NASA working with Michael. And they're continuing to work with this. And they basically said, we have never seen anything like this. This basically is a picture, like an energy, but yet it has an energy that is within it that totally changes the structure of water and gives its life and energy back into it. And they've proved it basically by the pictures and the photos that they take and what they do and the process they're looking through and all this. So it's quite interesting. And Michael Lee, again, will be our guest at the workshop in Fort Lauderdale. And then 3 weeks after that, we're going to be back in Sedona, and Michael Lee will be the guest there as well, so you'll have the opportunity. He's a very, very unique individual. His story is very unique. You can go on to his website. You capture his story. He has been on TV who knows how many times in Ancient Aliens, Discovery Channel. He has had so many radio interviews, so his name is starting to get out there, but he's a very wonderful, unique individual, and this is your opportunity to become personally acquainted with him with what he's kind of bringing our way. So that's the announcement there. Now, what I want to do tonight, I want to make some comments about what's happening in the currency exchange. There's a lot of you that are still emailing me and saying, what's happening? What's going on? Why aren't you giving me updates? And I want to come back and say, well, obviously you haven't been listening to radio programs because, folks, here's what I do. I know the program will sometimes be 1 to 2 hours long. But I always make announcements and then talk about the updates on exchange that will always be within the first 5 to 15 minutes of the program. So you don't have to, if that's what you're concerned about and that's what you want to capture, you want to know what's going on, go back and listen to my last programs. You can always find them posted on the Facebook. I usually send them out in a newsletter format later. You will almost always see it on my YouTube page as well, the long programs that are there. And all you have to do is listen to about the first 5 to 15 minutes and you're going to capture what's going on. Now, yesterday I had some conversations with some of my top sources. Today I had conversations with my direct sources that are direct with the people who are the buyers. And even tomorrow morning I'm going to be in conversation with another person who's directly involved with the people that are the buyers. Here's what we are all hearing and what everybody, all my sources are in. Folks, I've said this many, 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 many times, and I'm going to be very direct. Them and Dinar are done. If you have not already turned them in to a broker where you have a receipt and a contract, then it's very likely you're not getting anything for it. You're just not. At the end of the day, I've been saying this for 4 years. Somebody has to buy it from you. Who has trillions of dollars to pay for everything that they're talking about on these block sites of 800 numbers coming to processing centers? Folks, nobody is paying for that. You have to be in touch with the buyer, and I'm going to repeat this again. None of the people who write and make comments or post on block sites ever talk about where's the money coming from, who's going to pay for it, who has this real money to pay and buy your currencies from you. ZIM is done. If you have already turned in your ZIM, folks, you're not going to have another opportunity. That was confirmed today with my people who work directly and in contact with the top processing people. Dinar is done. Dinar was so vastly oversold. I have contacts with people who I have seen personally. I know who they are. Some of them I've talked with on the phone. They have over 600 million boxes of Dinar. Who's going to buy all that from them? Nobody. because they aren't going to put out that kind of money. I have another contact with an individual. He has an acquaintance with a man who's a very, very high level at the Bank of International Settlements. And this man, he says, I am employed by the BIS. I am in constant contact with the World Bank, the IMF, and the U.S. Treasury. And this guy came right out and he said, if you are not in a contract that has been authorized by the U.S. Treasury, and you know who your broker is, who your buyer is, and have that contract, you're not getting paid. Because there's way too many of these currencies out there, and it would take hundreds of billions of dollars to pay for all this, and we at the financial global level are not going to allow that kind of money to be placed into circulation in the global economy. What it comes down to, folks, is you better know who your buyer is. Who's your buyer? And if that buyer does not have a contract that has been authorized by the U.S. Treasury, then you're almost 99% probability you're not getting paid. Why? We can talk about currency exchanges all we want, but you or me, when we started this, we were people who were telling us the stories, we trusted certain things, we heard all about it, but at the end of the day, these people were never in touch with who was actually going to buy it from them. They said they thought they had contracts with them. They thought they were in touch with the buyers. They thought that their book was going to be in touch with buyers. But at the end of the day, they were. They were never legitimately in touch with an authorized buyer. Because here's what I said. It's one thing to have money to pay out. There's only two places on this planet that could basically put out and pay all these currencies. One, obviously, is the Dragon families that I've talked about. And the others are the contract that the government agencies have with these off-market trading platforms. It's the only two places that can purchase this kind of money to pay for any of this kind of stuff. Well, you can be like the Dragon family. We got lots and lots of money. But the problem is we don't have the guns, i.e. we don't have the political military power to back this up. And they are the ones that can shut this down in a heartbeat if they want to. So at the end of the day, the authorization for any currency exchange is going to come from the strong governments who have the military power, i.e. the guns, to put and enforce this and put it into place. My exchange with the dong, I have a contract with a reputable bank who has the contract with the processing center that is basically an extension of these, the U.S. Treasury and this multinational contract for this money to be released. They're only going to limit so much money to go, folks. There's only so much they're going to allow to be put into circulation. So what does that mean for you? Well, it's your choice what you want to do with your currencies. And you can just let it be as a bunch of empty paper. You can have it as nice wallpaper. You can choose to sell it. Sometimes your brokers will buy it back from you. Sometimes you can go on eBay and take a discount and sell it. That's all I can say. And folks, I am talking about one when I'm saying all of this. Those are people who have already earned in currencies. Now, in that, I talk about round two with me. I don't know anybody else anywhere that is being authorized to do a round two. In fact, I've had people right at the very top say, Dave, you're the game in town for round two after this first processing is done. And we can anticipate those rates are not going to be anywhere near as high as what we thought they were going to be in round two. Ask me the rates. I don't know. And I won't know, and none of us know, until basically round one is done, because they're going to look at how much money has been put out into the global situation to affect the global economy, and then how much more are they going to allow to be released. That's the end of the day issue, folks. That's what's happening on the currency exchanges. Here's what's happening. It's shrunk down to the fact that if you are not in a, with a broker who has a contract with U.S. Treasury and the other multinational agreement, very, 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 very high probability you're not getting paid. They're not going to allow that kind of money to be released into the global. They just totally boosts up the global economy. That's why they're not going to do that. I don't care what other people say. I don't care what their comments are. If you notice, if you're still reading the blog sites, folks, you notice my comments never get posted on there because they ban me because basically I'm addressing the truth. I'm challenging them to say, who's coming up with money to pay for everything you're talking about? And they never address that question. I've been watching them for 5 years and they still don't talk about address who has the money and being tangible about it. They'll say, oh, it's the elders. Well, which elders? There's only 128 of the dragon families that are out there. So which of the elders are you talking about? And whose elders? And how do you know they have money? And how do you know that the government is going to allow them to release that money? You see, the guns are always the final authority at the end of the day. So with that said, this is consistent with everything I'm hearing from all of my sources. Everything is done to release the funds. Everything. But it's not about you and me, individuals, at this level. This kind of money being released has impact on global economies and global politics. Therefore, the decision makers are those that are involved at the very top of the global political issue, i.e. the world leaders. They're the ones that are going to make the decision. You start asking, well, when is that? Everything we are hearing is nobody knows. All of my sources I have talked to said they've all been basically been told to go quiet. They've been contained to not talk about this, to not be out in the open about it, to not be able to talk about anything that is going on. They've all been told to do that. And the people who know the dates, none of them are talking because they will not. And they do not want those probable release dates to leak out into the public because it creates too many problems from the counter side who would like to shut this thing down. So all I can say is, folks, I don't know any dates. I don't know any exact rates. And the people who do know, they're not talking. So don't go email me and asking for updates, okay? That is the update. That is the only and the best update that I can give to you. That's happening in this issue. This is a constantly unfolding event that's always going on all the time. And so, folks, all I can say is stay in. And with that, what I can say for now is about what's going on that's out there, okay? So that's it. That's what I want to share with on the currency exchanges. Now, the program tonight, it was about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I was about 4 minutes into the program, and the whole thing just, boom, shut down. And talked about that afterwards, and we couldn't figure out why. Why is it that that Blog Talk Radio just boom went off the air, and then about 15 minutes later, I get this notice from Facebook that I've exceeded my 480 minutes of live program. That's 8 hours, folks. I haven't been on the program for more than 40 minutes, and they just shut it down. So I don't know what happened. Sometimes those are direct attacks. Sometimes there might be some technical problems. I don't know, but I didn't get finished the program. I want to talk tonight. I'm not going to go into a lot of depth about this. I'm going to keep it fairly simple about what is called creating change. We all live in a world where we would like to see things change. We would believe that this world can be a better world that we can live in. We can believe that we can have a better change within our own lives. We all desire that. We kind of wonder, why does it never seem to happen? We've got our explanations why. We've got our reasons why. We think if we fix this, then the world is going to get better. If we take care of that problem, then everything's going to be okay. But all of a sudden, we stop and we forget these issues have been going on for thousands and thousands of years, for thousands of generations, and yet the change never happens. And if we think that those are the reasons why the change, that we can make it happen, if we fix everything out there in the world, what we're saying is that we're the generation who's been wise enough, bright enough, smart enough to be better than every generation before us because they all had it wrong and we're the ones who got it right. It doesn't work that way, folks. See, change is not something that comes from without. Creating effective change is always something that comes from within. It's a matter of our thoughts. It's a matter of human consciousness because it's there that we set the energy into motion that begins to affect everything that it is around us. When we are in a situation where things are developing that something we see that we don't like, something that takes place, it's our perception that determines how we experience the event. Perception creates the energy that therefore determines how you're going to experience the event that's going on in your life. So therefore, your perception, most times, our perception is based upon past programming, memory programming that we have lying with us. We're now starting to understand that our memories from all of our past lives that go back thousands and thousands of years, it's still there within us, it's within DNA. But that memory doesn't come up through the conscious mind, the DNA memory, but it operates at the subconscious and the unconscious levels, but it impacts our perception is what it does. And so if we want to create change, what we have to do that we have to change the memory at the subconscious and unconscious levels of our minds, because that's where the perception is coming from, because the perception that you have is what develops how you're going to react, what you're going to do, and what you're going to experience. Change your perception, change the unconscious memories, and there you create the change that happens in your own life. Now, what does it take to do that? Well, let's take an illustration. In fact, I've had some of this coming up in the last few days again. We've got these people out there that are always just viciously attacking, and I'm not even going to get into that. But see, that's their perception. Their perception is that I'm a scammer, I'm not honest, and everything I'm doing is evil, and that their job is to go out and tell the whole world and fix the whole world. Yet they won't take the courtesy to call me, to write to me personally, and enter into a conversation, and I could sit down and show them, and I can back up anything that I have to say, because I always make sure that I'm coming from great tangible sources of the things that I talk about, either here on the program or in the workshops. I mean, I could actually show them my airline receipts and where I paid for the 4 trips to Hong Kong to meet with the Dragon Family. I could introduce them to the Dragon Family members I've talked to. I could do all of that, and they just won't believe it, because they've got a programming perception that keeps them in this, what I call an attitude, perception of criticalness, of judgment, of anger, and of hatred. And they're always choosing to perceive anything I do from the place of hatred. Well, it bugs me. Yeah, it bothers me sometimes. And I'll say, but see, my perception is my responsibility. It's not my job to fix and change them. How they choose to respond, that's their choice. How they want to live their lives, that is their choice. But I get to choose how I am going to respond to that and the perception I'm going to it. My initial perception is assholes, come on, get your life together. Or my initial perception is I want to go to my lawyer and take care of them and get rid of them and all the problem goes away. Well, maybe initially, yes, that is a possibility, but I haven't changed my perception outside. So what do you do to make that effective change? The first thing you have to do is when you have a thought, when you have a memory, you realize is not healthy. It's not coming from a place of love and compassion. It's coming from a place of judgment and hatred or anger or disillusionment or anxiety or fear. Catch it. The first most important thing is you have to catch it right at that point, because when you catch it is where you have the opportunity to release the old memory and to create the new one. That's key. If you don't catch it, if you don't perceive it as an issue, if you don't perceive it as a weakness or a problem within your life, if you don't perceive it as an unhealthy behavior, memory will continue to persist. Because the programming is at the unconscious level, and it's there that you have to fix and change that. Now, what I want to do, I want us to watch a couple of short videos by Dr. Joe Dispenza. He's really great about this, and he talks about what happens in our brains, what happens in our minds, about how we create memory and how we create change. So let's go in and let's watch this here, this short little video by
it. Turns out there, most people spend 70% of their life in survival and living in stress, so they're always anticipating the worst case scenario based on the past experience. Out of the infinite potentials in the quantum field, they're selecting the worst possible outcome, and can't even predict it because it's programmed subconsciously. You say to the person, why are you this way? And they'll say, I am this way because this event that happened to me 15 or 20 years ago. And what it means from a biological standpoint is that they haven't been able to change since that event. The emotions from the experience tend to give the body and the brain a rush of energy. So people become addicted to the rush of those emotions, and they use the problems and conditions in their life to reaffirm their limitations so at least they can feel something. So now when it comes time to change, you say to the person, why are you this way? Well, every time they recall the event, they're producing the same chemistry in their brain and body as if the event is occurring, firing and wiring the same circuits and sending the same emotional signals to the body. Your body is the unconscious mind. It doesn't know the difference between the experience that's creating the emotion and the emotion that you're creating by thought alone. So the body's believing, it's living in the same past experience 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 65 days a year. So then when those emotions influence certain thoughts, and they do, and then those thoughts create the same emotions, and those same emotions influence the same thoughts, now the entire person's state of being is in the past. The hardest part about change is not making the same choice as you did the day before, period. And the moment you decide to make a different choice, get ready, because it's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel unfamiliar.
You know, you talked about the key is defining the moment when you want to make the change. Because if you don't define that moment, you keep repeating all of the programming, the wiring that's been taking place within our brains, memory patterns that are, you'll just repeat from that place if you don't create it to start to change there. Now let's watch a second little short video by Dr. Jokin.
You have a crazy idea. You think, what would it be like to be happy? What would it be like to be in love? What would it be like to be rich? Whatever it is.
Yes.
And you, all of a sudden, you ask that question. Mm-hmm. You turn on the creative center in your brain.
That's right.
It turns on.
Yes.
And then now the frontal lobe is boss, CEO, symphony leader. The frontal lobe, as an executive, has connections to all other parts of the brain. And you ask that question, it's got to answer it. So it's got to look out over the landscape and see what kind of raw material I have. Well, you only have a few things, knowledge, and friends, and experiences you've had. So it begins to call up different networks of neurons. It begins to seamlessly piece them together. And you get a vision in your mind that's called intent. And if you're passionate, you start to feel the feelings of what had happened. Now, you're giving your body that energetic boost. Now, everybody's done this. So said that. No one's going to talk to you out of the person of the experience if you're possessed by it.
We become possessed by our old patterns of memory, in essence, is what he is saying. And we will continue to repeat these old patterns of memories, and we will continue to repeat all the problems that we have within our lives, within our families, within our societies, within our worlds, until we begin to take on the issue of change our perception. Now, I use that term because of how it's so well defined in A Course in Miracles. We look at the term A Course in Miracles, what does it say? The miracle is the shift and the change in your perception. That's what the miracle is. When you change your perception, you begin to create the opportunity for a shift and change of a miracle. You get to change what begins to take place around you. And A Course in Miracles doesn't define a miracle as some event. It's just, you know, fantastic, super, whatever. No, it says the miracle is the shift and change of your perception. Because when you do that, you set yourself onto a whole new complete path of probability. In the past programs, I've been talking about how we are living in a world where we're starting to understand there's unlimited potential to what we can do. We have programmed ourselves through thousands of years to believe that the world is limited. We live in what we call a Newtonian-based science world. Everything is fixed, we're victims, everything takes place around us, we don't have any power and control over that. That's like Newtonian science, and you start comparing Newtonian science to quantum physics, and they're two different worlds. Quantum physics says there's unlimited potential. The only limit to what we create in our lives is programming of our thoughts. Now, to create the effect change, we basically then have to undo. We have to reprogram literally thousands and thousands of years of DNA memory that is within us. And we have to program ourselves to saying, it is possible. I can do that. There are no limitations. We're now entering into an era, into an age because of the internet. We have this ability to share this information with people. And I'm not the only one who is saying this. There are literally scores, if not hundreds of other people that are saying the same thing that I am saying. We have the ability to create a new world. But to do that, we have to shift the perception of the old world that we have lived in. And it's not about going out there and fixing things that are out there, because remember, the world is a holographic universe. It's only a hologram, and it's an illusion. And you can't fix a holographic illusion. You can only fix what's in here. When you fix what's in here, the illusion that is out there begins to shift and change, and you begin to see it entirely differently. Your perception changes. This is something I've been working on in my own life now for the past 9 years. I've had people coming to my workshops now for 4 and 5 years, and they come recently and they just said, Dave, you're just such a different person than what you were 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Your whole life is shifting and changing. Your energy patterns are shifting and changing. I get people who are very gifted Reiki workers, and they can feel the energy fields around them. They're coming up to me and they're saying, your whole energy field is so powerful, so strong in contrast to what it used to be. Your perception of life is changing. All of that come about in my life because I've made a choice to follow the principles that are outlined in A Course in Miracles. And I'm an absolute believer in A Course in Miracles, that it is what it says it is. It's the true teaching of Jesus, who was our master. He was the prototype. He's the one that showed us how to do all these things that we thought were the miraculous. Because even right there in the Bible, it's quoted where Jesus is saying, all these things I've done, you can do them as well and even more. You can move into an unlimited world. At the very, very center of the teachings of Jesus in A Course in Miracles, it says that the change in perception process is called the forgiveness process. Now, forgiveness, as it's defined there, has nothing to do with what I call the conventional world's definition of forgiveness. The conventional world's definition of forgiveness says somebody out there did something to me that upset me, hurt me, did something to me, and I need to forgive them. That's not it, folks. The Course's definition of forgiveness has absolutely nothing to do with the other person. It's all about me, my responsibility, my ability to change my perception to create my world. The greatest gift of forgiveness is the path to be in peace. Peace with ourselves and at peace with everything around us. And forgiveness is basically the shift in perception. When you forgive, when you let go of the old programming and you shift your perception and allow new programming come in. New programming that has to do with love, compassion, compatibility, etc., in contrast to the anger, the hatred, the judgment, the bitterness, the fear, the anxiety. And when you shift that, you totally shift the energy field that's taking place all around you. Now, I want to share with you what has worked for me in the forgiveness process. And it's a very simple three-step process. This is outlined by some of the teachings that are coming out from David Wilcock. It's outlined in some of the teachings that Dr. Joe Spinza is putting out. It's outlined by a lot of the other people that I really trust in. But I look at it, it's a three-step process. Now, you can define this differently, but this works to create new memory patterns and new perceptions in our lives that creates effect change. Number one, let me just summarize it first. It's three steps: recognize, release, and replace. The first step to recognize your current condition. You can't be in denial about it. You can't be running away from it. You can't say, I don't like myself that way. It doesn't mean you have to judge yourself. It doesn't mean you have to be negative about yourself. You just have to view what's out there and say, okay, this person got me upset, and you want to know what? I'm an asshole. And you admit to yourself that you basically got involved in some behavior that probably wasn't very healthy and how you perceived it. you have to first recognize it. And why is that recognition so important? Because what you do when you recognize it, you're firing it, like what Dr. Joe said in one of his videos, you're bringing up from unconscious level, the conscious level, the programming, the firing of the synapses there within your brain, you're bringing them up to the level they can be released. If you do not recognize the problem, if you do not recognize the issue, if you aren't willing to admit that it's there, i.e., if you aren't willing to take a look, and this applies to everybody, me as well, if we are not willing to look at the shadow issues in our lives, they stay at the unconscious level. They stay down there, and they continue to dominate our perceptions. You have to allow them to come from the unconscious level to the conscious level. And when it comes up to the conscious level, that's the right moment, the right opportunity. Because what I said earlier, remember what? You have to capture the shadow moment. You have to capture the unpleasant moment and just admit it. Acknowledge that it's there. When you do that, it comes up to the conscious level, and then you are ready to release it, to let it go. You recognize it, and then you say, you know, I'm acknowledging that this behavior in my life is not a good behavior. I want to change that. So I'm going to let that go. I'm just going to let it go. You release it. You shift your perception of it. He says, this is something in me I don't have to have. The power of your thoughts is what programs that part of our brain. And when you tell yourself this old programming, I'm letting go of these old thoughts. I'm letting go of these old perceptions. They're old. I don't want them around in my life anymore. I don't want them a part of my memory. Because memory is always like a computer. It can always be reprogrammed. But you have to bring it up to reprogram it. Did you get what I just said? It's kind of like a computer. Our mind is. The three levels of the mind are kind of like three levels of a computer. You can have a ton of old bad stuff on your hard drive, and it stays there. And it affects everything else that's going on around in your computer. But until you bring it up to the monitor in a specific program to delete it and get rid of it and let it go, it sticks around. That's the way our minds are. We have to bring it up to the conscious mind, and we give it a command through our thoughts, through our intentions, whether it's a verbal or just a thought, we give it this command, you're done. Release it. Let it go. Don't get into judgment around it. Don't try to figure out deep problems of it. Just let it go. And then the third thing is, now that you've let it go, we need to replace it. So you take the old perception and then you replace it with a new healthy one. Where the person who is bugging the crap out of me and that was upsetting me, I now replace that with, that's her choice. That's her behavior. I'm going to release that to her. I know deep down inside that's a part of her old programming. She doesn't really want to be that way. She would like to be at peace. She would like to be able to receive love. She would like to be able to receive compassion. She would like to be able to be in a place of total peace within herself. And that's what I choose to see. That's how I choose to see her. I choose to see who she really wants to be, not the temporary behavior that's going on in her life. I replace it with something that's very positive, something of nothing but love and compassion. You know, parents are great at that. Take any mother who has this little terrible twos child that's getting to all kinds of terrible twos things that's really kind of upsetting and unnerving. But a mother just has this deep compassion for that little child because the mother always sees beyond the disrupting behavior and can look into who the person really is. Mamas have that deep love for babies that are just disruptive at times. You understand it. Yes, sometimes, you know, we can do some of the behaviors there we don't want to, but that's the power that is there. And it's a real simple process. I've been using this for over 10 years of my life, and it's totally changing my life, folks. And I'm now learning how to move into what I talked about a couple of programs ago, becoming what is called a holographic quantum-based being. Learning how to think of unlimited behavior. Learning how to think of unlimited potential. Learning how to think of unlimited possibilities. And I know I get to create these within my life. Now, this change doesn't come overnight, because this process of recognize, release, and replace, it has to be repeated over and over and over and over and over again. In essence, when something comes up in front of your face at any given moment, you just acknowledge and be aware of what it is, of what you're experiencing and what you're thinking. Be aware of your thoughts and your emotions. Your emotions will tell you what you're thinking. And you have to allow that to be there. And when you allow that to be there, that's the opportunity to create the change. And reprogramming thousands of years of old DNA memory doesn't happen overnight. It's not a one-shot deal. This is something that we will all work on all of our lifetime until the day we transition. It never stops. There will always be the need to continue this till the day that we transition, until we move on. But what it does, it brings new potential, new probability, a new sense of power, new sense of reality, this great sense of peace and love and passion for people around us. And all of a sudden, your world begins to change. And I don't talk about this a lot, but I do mention now and then, remember, I used to be a state senator. Politics was the center of my life for almost 20 years. And you want to talk about being in a job where you're always fighting, judging, disagreeing, debating, analyzing, criticizing. That's what politics is about. You're always usually in a debate in some way with someone who is in opposition to you or ideas. So living in a political world for 20 years, you're always in this process of judging and debating and analyzing and sometimes criticizing, and sometimes being just downright vicious. It can get to be that way. That was my world. For over 20 years of my life, that was my world. I was an elected official for 12 other years. I was still involved in it, working around it. And I saw what it was doing to me. And I realized, I don't really like what's going on here. And when I was done with it, it was just nice to walk away, because I was walking away from a very negative, critical lifestyle of always having to judge others, criticize, or basically contrast what they're saying or wanting to do in contrast to what I wanted to do. That became my motivation to change. I said, I don't like what's happened with me living in this political world. I would like to be a different person. And I set out, and that's when I discovered Gary Renard's book, Disappearance of the Universe. That's when I discovered the message, the forgiveness process, A Course in Miracles. And I was determined to set that forth in life. And I've been working on that now for almost close to 10 years now. And I can truly say that what I experience is the life I'm living now feels like it's a whole complete different lifetime than from just 3 years ago. And another one 6 years ago. And another one 10 years ago. Feeling my own change, how I respond, how I see the world. On a political note, I've been around politics for over 25 years. I've never seen it as divisive and as deeply partisan as it is right now. And folks, it's that way on both sides. I'm not saying one being pro over the other. Being involved in the politics, I've learned how to, whatever statements politicians are making, I almost know what's really going on behind the scenes and what it is that they're trying to do. In politics, it's all about power and control. They have to be in power, or you have to have a majority so you can make the statement. And it's always about trying to convince the public to go with their message. Convince the public to come with us, to vote for us, so we can be in power and control. And they'll do whatever it takes to make that happen. And it happens on both sides. Both sides, folks. Both sides. I'm now at the point in my life, because I know what really goes on there, I've let it go. I don't judge it anymore. Yes, I have my one side I lean to more for my own personal issues. but I don't judge it whether it's liberal or conservative. I don't judge it whether it's Republican or Democrat. I don't judge it whether it's coming from the Senate or the House. I don't judge it whether it's coming from Congress or the President. Just let it be. Because as soon as I entering into judging it, I totally lowered my vibration. And I put myself back into an old memory pattern of basically being in a negative, critical, lower energy vibrational issue that basically produces a life that you don't enjoy. So I just let it go. And I am now at that point, after 25 years, and politics was the very center of my life, I really don't care that much. Because I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat that's in control. I don't care if it's, you know, Senator Mitch McConnell versus, you know, Representative Nancy Pelosi who's running a show in the Senate or in the House on the national level. Because I know at the end of the day, they're both about power and control to be in that position. Okay, that's just what they do. That's the life they have chosen to live, and that's the life that they will experience, and that's the memories that they're establishing and creating within themselves. And I said, I don't want that life anymore, and I don't. So I can sit back, watch the debate that goes on between the Republicans who are in control of the Senate and the Democrats who are in control of the House, watching the debate over each other, and then even watching the debate, you know, the president, and criticize the president. And I thought, okay. And I just look at it as a form of entertainment. It's all that I do. And I don't get involved in judgment. I observe it versus participating in it. And that's a key issue in this. When we become the participant in the drama, we create the drama events within our lives. And so what we do is, in the shift in perception, in the three-step process of forgiveness, recognize, release, and replace, we're moving from a participant to an observer. We're moving from being the actor in the drama to being the person sitting in the theater just watching and observing. We just observe, and we let it be. And when you do that, you raise yourself to a higher position of vibrational energy that has the ability to create effective change. Creating effective change in our lives is a process, the forgiveness process that's outlined in A Course in Miracles. That's one of the best things that I can say, the best illustrations that I can give to you. Another thing that I don't share very much often, but I do mention this in the workshops, is, see, folks, I was a religion major in college. That was 40 years ago. That was my undergraduate degree. What does that mean? When you're a religion major, you're studying different countries, cultures, indigenous groups, whatever. You're studying their value systems, how they value and observe life and how they value and observe the world. That's what you're observing. That's what you're looking at. So I've been around this stuff for over 40 years, what I call observing the value systems, different cultures and countries and indigenous groups around the world, and how to make an analysis is the term I would like to use about what this means, what this is for them. And what that has done, it has taught me how to let go of a deep judgment and try not to put one over the other. That's their lives, that's their culture, that's where they're at this point in time. And if I want to see a change, then I have to change me. I have to change my perception. When I can't go out and change the whole world out there, and neither can you. Because remember, as science is now showing us, the world out there is a holographic illusion. So we have to change is what happens here and in here, in our hearts and in our minds. And when we change our perception, the whole world around us begins to change. And we set the energy into motion to change out to what we would like to have changed. So that's pretty much the program for tonight. I don't have any reason to go on to any more in-depth stuff. You know, Blanc is not with us tonight. And the folks, if any of you that are on Blog Talk Radio, see, I don't know if I came through Blog Talk okay. I hope I did come through okay. But what I'll end up doing that when this program is done, I'll go ahead and put, you know, turn it into a YouTube video and I'll send it out to everybody. But I don't see anybody there on Blog Talk that has basically pressed the little number one and they'd like to come on to basically, you know, chat questions. So let me give you about 30 seconds here, folks. If nobody comes up, if I don't see any of those little, you know, things come up, we're going to be done for the night. But this is it, April 10th program. Tomorrow I finish packing up here at my home here in Sedona. And then on Friday morning, I loaded everything into my car, pulling the trailer behind the car, and I'm heading on to Southern Florida. I'll take maybe 4 or 5 days to get there. Just take my time, you know, depending on the visiting people along the way. And next week's program, then, folks, should be live from Southern Florida. Okay? I think that's about it. I didn't see anybody come on saying they wanted to talk or make any comments, so we're going to call it an evening. Thanks a lot, folks. Okay, bye-bye.